Want next-level protection for your canine patients? Then you want NexGard Plus, Fox Aloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. The one-and-done monthly protection that prevents canine heartworm disease, protects your canine patients from fleas and ticks, and treats and controls roundworms and hookworms, all in a delicious beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Next level protection. NexGard Plus.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Well, I have a wonderful friend and author and veterinarian and a mom that wears many hats. And we're going to chat about her life and her journey and as well as this amazing book that she has out. So we got to welcome Dr. Lindsay Victoria Rinelli to the show. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And, you know, we got a fellow Jersey person in the house. So I love it.
Yes.
So a little bit of information about Dr. Lindsay. She's an emergency veterinarian in Paramus, New Jersey, a Wagner College graduate with a BS in biology and a major in psychology. By the way, I know I said that Paramus, New Jersey, but you got it. Well, we'll get into that in a moment where you're going to be because this is an exciting time for you as well. Yes. But after her time at Ross University and clinical year at LSU, she's traveled to Alaska, and there she participated in the aid of canine racers in the Willow 300. What was that like?
Oh my God. It was incredible. It was freezing. Preparing for it, we went to Eddie Bauer. We got all of the heat that was supposed to be for negative 30, and you're not prepared.
Oh man.
It was incredible. There were at least 300 racers. We did physical exams on all of them before the race day. And then it's pretty much like 12 to 14 hour shifts at different checkpoints. And you're just making sure when they take breaks that they're doing okay, there's no injuries, they could continue on with their race.
Wow. And they must be super fit and muscular, these dogs, right?
So you would think, but yeah. Think about your marathon runner.
Yeah.
So the huskies that we see in the office, big difference. They're big, they're fluffy. These guys, they're like your 3 out of 10. So very big difference.
Right. Wow, incredible. Well, that's definitely one for a fun fact to share with one. Like if you do two truths and a lie, that's a good one.
Absolutely.
She's now focused on emergency surgery, physical rehabilitation, and exotic animal medicine, which is awesome. And she's published her first children's book as a memoir to moms in the postpartum period. And then celebrated on Staten Island Live, she was able to express this inspiration for that dedication to her daughter, Gracelyn. And her second book was celebrated this past year in November in order to help families process pet loss around the world. And she sent her book to over 80 clinics across the U.S. and Canada, working with families during their most pivotal moments. Goodbye for Now was born, and she's officially become the first author in her family, celebrating a New York City Big Book Award distinguishing favorite and independent press award winner in multiple categories this May. So congratulations on all your accolades there.
Thank you. May 2nd is coming up so fast.
It really is. My gosh, a lot to celebrate you with, which is fantastic. So you're now going to be, tell the listeners where you're heading, because there's a new practice that's opening up here in New Jersey.
Yes, super exciting. So mid-October, Veg Princeton is opening up. So brand new de novo hospital. We're building a brand new team. So I get to be involved in the construction, the team building. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, congratulations on that too. And I know it's a great area where I think there's a need for that there. So
yeah.
Awesome. Oh, good for you. Thank you. So let's take that veterinarian hat off for a moment and let's talk about the writing cap. So what inspired you to start writing?
So I think that time where I wasn't in the clinic and I had nothing to do but take care of my daughter those 3 months after having her. So I was like, you know what? We do a certain routine every morning. We go to, you know, her window. We say good morning to everything and anything just to teach her. So good morning, grass, good morning, sky, good morning, birds. And just reading to her every night, I was like, you know what? This would be really fun to try as a second project.
So So cut to the fact that, because there's so many areas that you can write about, and then so you're probably that's more of a child. Well, we'll cut to, because you decided to go into the children's aspect of writing, right? Okay.
So that was my first book. So
Right.
my first book, I took that aspect and kind of threw it into New York City
Okay.
just to say, okay, I had her during COVID. So it was a hard
Ooh.
time where you can't really go to certain places. What do you do with your baby? You know, what do you actually do to show them the world other than staying at home? So
Yeah.
I was like, this is a nice, you know, memoir and something helpful for moms to say, like, you could still go outside, you could still do the little things and make every day count.
And I mean, I can only imagine to the moms out there, my hat's off to you, because dealing with postpartum and dealing with raising the baby and then trying to figure out like your new normal of like going back to work and what that might look like as a veterinarian and as a mom. There's got to be so many challenges with that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Going back to work was the biggest challenge because, especially in the ER, you go from 0 to 60 and then you're home and it's just, that's all you do. You're just taking care of your baby. You don't have a million different things that you have to organize through your day. And then jumping back into it now without your baby is just, it's a big change.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. So, and how do you plan to impact the veterinary field now with you as an author?
Yeah, so my second book, I really hope to impact the veterinary field. And what's really unique about it is it's not only written by a veterinarian for pet loss and grief for families, but I feel like it spans all ages. You know, everyone always asks me, what age is it for? But really, I've found adults tell me that it's helpful for them to get through the loss of their pet. It's helpful for them to read to their kids as well. And just to like get a general understanding of why it happened so suddenly. The nice thing about it is I worked with a close colleague of mine, Brittany, who is in psychology and she works with several like areas of trauma. So I had her read through it and make sure that it made sense for that loss.
And grief is hard to begin with, but trying to wrap your head around it as a child and so forth could be even more challenging. So I think having a book like that is very helpful to make that connection and try to understand and process that.
Yeah.
So it's great. What's the name of the book again?
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now. And it's available everywhere.
So I have it on Etsy for my
Okay.
hardcover, but my soft cover is on Amazon.
Okay.
It's also in Spanish, which is super helpful.
Oh, excellent. That's
Yeah.
great. Congratulations on that too. Thanks for doing that, because certainly we
Thank
need
you.
to, appeal to all those different languages there. So it's great. Okay, and some of the challenges that you've experienced, because you're a single mom and a big leader in our profession, what are some of those challenges that you've experienced?
Yeah, I guess just like you said, I wear many hats. So just understanding how to organize your whole week with all of those hats in mind. You know, what does each day look like? How do you organize each day independently to get everything done that you need to? So not only taking care of the home, taking care of the little one, and then your main career as a veterinarian, and then branching off into this new adventure being an author.
Yeah, so many different aspects there. I know I was talking to some moms. I've been talking, obviously, I currently talk to a lot of our mutual friends and colleagues as moms and veterinarians, and they say it is hard when you come down from that high of the ER and working, and then you have to kind of decompress and turn it down. Maybe you got to tuck the kids into bed or feed them or take them to practice. And sometimes you just aren't maybe not the best mom cap that you're wearing at the time because you're just so tired, right? But,
Absolutely.
right? So that's got to be hard, I would imagine.
Of course. Yeah, that's why in my first book, the two things that I tried to make impactful was being present and being purposeful. And that way, you know, you're not with the kids on your phone or you're not with the kids thinking about other things. You're actually with them during that time.
I love that. I had one veterinarian, she said, like, no one really, I don't look back and realize, oh, I had a really great Monday night at work. I look back and realize, like, oh, I was there for my daughter's dance recital. You know, I was there for their practice or whatever that was. I mean, life is so fa goes by so fast. You blink and your kids grow up, it sounds like. And so it's trying to balance all those things out. And it sounds like you're able to do it. I feel like no one has the secret sauce behind it,
No.
right? But you
Always changing,
right.
technique throughout every day, every week. No week is the same.
Yeah, can imagine. Well, it's an unbelievable. And you love the exotics, which is fantastic. And talk to
Oh.
me about that. How is leading the exotics department in your hospital?
Yeah, so it's super exciting. I was able to kind of have some freedom within the framework at Paramus. So my medical director said, can you kind of organize the little team? So I have a technician, I have an assistant. And what we've been doing is, even though we have the bigger, like veterinary emergency group exotic team, like Dr. Rosenthal, use them as a great resource, but then we have our little niche at Paramus so that if the doctors need someone like right there and then, they could call me, they could talk to one of my staff members. And through, I guess, the last year and a half, you could see a huge impact that it's had on our team. Like, they're comfortable handling exotics, they understand how to have certain conversations with owners. It's been a huge growth period, which has been amazing.
That must make you so proud to see that, especially in exotics. We always have a little bit of fear, whether what type of, regardless of what veterinary professional you are, sometimes I feel like we get nervous when we hear we have an exotic coming down. And so for you to see that growth in your team, that's got to make you feel proud as a leader.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a proud mom at work,
Yeah. That's
you
awesome. What's been kind of, because I'm curious, because I'm also in New Jersey, to the listeners, we're both in New Jersey. So is there an exotic species out there that's popular in our area?
I would say the most that we see would be snakes, rabbits, guinea pigs.
Okay.
Those are the three top. You'll see turtles here and there, and you'll see your birds. I feel like the days that I'm not there, they see a lot of birds. And I feel like that's everyone's number one fear.
Right.
But they
Yes,
do really well with them.
sure you get the phone calls in on that one, right?
Exactly.
And we were just talking earlier that you're on pace towards becoming a medical director. So what
Yes.
has that path looked like? And you know, has there been some mentorship along the way in terms of, you know, leading and communication and even practice management?
Yeah, absolutely. So, what's been really nice is they've been slowly preparing me for this role. So, right now I'm an apprentice as an MD at Paramus. And what I'm doing is just I'm a part of all the big head meetings. I'm a part of the meetings that my medical director goes through with his like higher staff or leadership team. So, I get a better understanding of how the hospital runs from that point of view. And then in June, I'll be kind of thrown into the mix of what it truly is to be a leader in your hospital, which will be really nice.
It's nice that they provide you that trajectory, you know,
Yeah.
and that path for it. And how do you feel about it? Is there any hesitation, or are you excited about it?
No, I feel like that's everyone's question. Like, what's your hesitations? What's your fear? But I'm really excited to jump into the role. I just feel like I can't be too excited at this point in time because I'll
Right.
just want to jump in, face first, and I can't yet. I have to wait till June. So,
Yeah.
no hesitations, but I'm excited to grow a brand new team and a brand new hospital. I think it'll be so exciting.
It's nice, and it sounds like you also have that autonomy with your decision making along the way as you're seeing the practice build and grow and develop. You have a little bit of, you know, Lindsay in there that you can, you know, throw in.
Yeah, it should be really nice. They always say
Yeah.
there's freedom within the framework, which is amazing because I would
Yes.
love to bring in like my behavior background, especially working at Mount Laurel.
Yes.
Loved working with Dr. Shayna, so I always use her techniques wherever I go. And
Shout out to you, Dr. Shane, if you're tuning
yes.
in.
And then just my exotics background, with
Yeah.
Dr. Tyson. So it's been wonderful to use what they've taught me to teach the future.
Right. And I love that you're sharing that. And I know we have a lot of veterinary students that listen to this podcast. And the fact that you've taken all these experiences that you've had in your career as a veterinarian, you know, business practices and practice management, exotics, behavior, and look where you're heading towards now, right? That you're able to do this and have those skills. I just think that's amazing about this profession is, you know, you get not necessarily mentorship, but you're learning as you're going and practicing. And what would be some of the advice to the future veterinary students out there now that you have all these, wearing all these wonderful hats?
Absolutely. So I feel like some in the career, maybe a year out, 2 years out, try to jump into management too early. And I would say, wait, hold on it, because love being a veterinarian first. Get everything that you need to know under your belt, get that experience, that hands-on experience. And then, think if you'd like to be a leader at that point in time. Because I feel like some jump into it so early and then they regret it and want to take a step back.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% because I think you do need to have that experience of client communication, looking at the way the business is run from a general practitioner lens, and then seeing things that you like and don't like that you can take into your own eventually. But I do think that you need those few years under your belt to help making those decisions moving forward.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. And what So you're going to be heading into this role later in the year, which is exciting. And you also have a passion for emergency medicine. What gave you that passion? What is it about ER that you love?
So I just love that I could do so many different things. I had a huge love for surgery and orthopedics.
Nice.
And when I had graduated, everyone was trying to be a surgeon. And you had to wait, 3 years of internships before you even got a residency. So I was like, you know what? Let me jump into the ER, but still have the opportunity to do surgery. And I felt like Mount Laurel really gave me that opportunity, which was incredible. And then being able to do an endoscopy, anything that you need to do, trauma repair, critical care cases. It's an incredible way to jump into everything at a higher level. I still do general practice as well, and I feel like it's a nice break from the ER. But it really allows you to push, your knowledge base.
It really does. And shout out to Mount Laurel Animal Hospital, by the way, if you're tuning in. Yeah, it is. And having that, you know, we say to the graduates when you choose your job selection is to choose a job where you're going to be mentored and coached along the way. And just like Mount Laurel is a great example that does that, finding those hospitals that have a good marriage on both ends, I think is so important to the new graduates that are about to enter our profession.
Absolutely.
So what do you have planned? What's next for 2025? I know this is a big year. We're celebrating
What's
you coming
next?
up and
I know.
hospital. What else you got cooking?
So there is one book that, so it's going to be different. It's not going to be a children's book.
Okay.
They asked me to co-author on it, and it's a book to essentially help to like empower women to kind of like rise from a bad situation. Or from like their lowest point. So it's Rise of the Phoenix. And that's coming out in October as well. So a lot of things in October. But I
Excellent.
wrote a chapter for that book. So that should be really nice.
That's great. I will share with the listeners too. Speaking of that, we have at our Fetch conference in Kansas City happening in August, we have a women's summit that we're proud to have partnered with Dr. Lisa Radassa, Dr. Natalie Marks, and also a wellness coach. And it's something that we have never done before in terms of the way in which the content is being delivered. And they're keeping it real. It's women just ch chatting to women about real issues, to your point that you were just talking about, vulnerability, and there's going to be some great stations along the way. I think no one has really. I know it hasn't been done before, so I don't want to give too much away, but if you're interested in that to the listeners and to yourself, doctor, we invite you to come. It'd be a really great opportunity because you know, women empowering women in veterinary medicine is really needed. You know, it's one of the highest professions where we have more females in any other profession out there. So we need more of that. So thank you for writing that chapter for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so fun facts I need to know about you, doctor, as we're wrapping up here. What's the one of the craziest cases that you've seen in Exotics Land? Have you had anything that was just like bizarre out there that's been like, what?
We did have this little chicken. She was adorable. She potentially got attacked by a fox. Dad doesn't know. He did have cameras set up thereafter, but she had awful wounds along her back. And you think of birds and you think they're so, they're like a prey species. They may be very fragile, but
Yes.
she healed so incredibly. Dad was so happy with the way that she did, and you would have never thought with the way that she looked prior.
Wow, it's
They're just
incredible.
incredible species.
Yeah, you really are. And tell us about your dog.
Yes. So my dog's name is Hippo. He just turned 4. He is 106 pounds of, I'm going to say, muscle. And he is just amazing. He's
Yeah.
incredible with my 4-year-old. He's a big pity. He's brown and white. And I adopted him this year, which was a long time coming. I've been looking for a larger breed, but I just didn't have the time, obviously.
Yes.
And he was a perfect fit.
Oh, so glad you have him. It really
Thank
is.
you.
I was just reading or actually watching a news story this morning. And it's funny how, I look at mainstream media often in terms of veterinary medicine and pet ownership and see, and they had this like, they did this whole, article or, piece on owning a pet and that what it does for like the body, mind, and soul. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, where have you been? Of course, like this. You're telling me things that we already knew about. And
Exactly.
the news anchor's like, oh, I didn't know that they lower your blood pressure. What are you talking about? Like, what?
Incredible. They
They
really
are. It's why we dedicate our lives to this profession. We really know that unconditional love that they do for both us and for the clients that we serve. So I love it. Well, Dr. Lindsay Rinelli, thank you so much for all the great work that you do, and congratulations on all these accolades.
Thank you so much. I really
Yeah.
appreciate being on the show.
Oh, our pleasure. And to the listeners, we'll put all the links in for you to check out her book, as well as anything else with her social media handles that you can get in touch with her, because she's just a wonderful person and our profession is honored to have you in it. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.